We come tonight to Genesis chapter number 45 in the study of the life of Joseph. These have been great lessons, haven't they? And we come tonight to a most tender scene. We pick up our reading, please, in verse number 25, as the brothers of Joseph are sent out of Egypt back home to get their dad. In verse number 25 of Genesis 45, the Bible says, "And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. And Israel took his journey with all that he had, and came to Beersheba, and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night, and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes." The entire story of the life of Joseph is so tender, and it seems like every week he gets more so. Next week, we're going to study precious moments in life that God gives us. But I don't know of any more tender scene than the scene when the brothers come home and tell their father, he hears for the first time in 25 years at least, that Joseph, his son, is alive. It's an amazing thing. I want you to imagine that you're Jacob for just a moment. His world had fallen apart. Everything he ever hoped for, everything he ever dreamed of, everything had fallen apart. Joseph, as far as he knows, is dead. All that he has is a coat covered in blood to remember him by. Two now of the brothers that he loves so very much, two of the sons that he loves so very much, are gone as well. So that's three boys now. One of them in jail, and the youngest, Benjamin, now being sent down to Egypt. And here sits Jacob all by himself, imagining that three of his sons are dead and gone, perhaps. He's not sure if he'll ever see any of them again. He's hoping against hope. And one morning he looks out the front door, and lo and behold, he sees the entire group coming to meet him. 11 brothers in all. I can see him counting them as they come over the horizon. There they are. And behind them are wagons filled with riches. And when they get there, they say, "We're all here, and these are from Joseph. He's alive." And the Bible says Jacob's heart fainted at first, and then his spirit revived in him. And he stopped, and he thanked the Lord. That is the great truth of this Bible lesson this week. It's actually the title of the lesson, Stop and Thank the Lord. The Bible memory verse is in the Psalms. It's a great one. I hope you'll write the reference down. Take the time to draw people's attention to it. Psalm 100 and verse number 4. "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." Psalm 100, verse number 4. And we're approaching the Thanksgiving season. But let me say to you, Thanksgiving is not a day for a Christian. It is a way of life. There are lots of people that say, "I'm grateful for things," but Christian people say, "I am grateful to God." There's a distinct difference. We know who to thank. I think sometimes we sit around waiting on the presence of God and then think we'll be thankful. The Bible says that you enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Would you like to sense the presence of God, to know you're close to him? Then start thinking of all God's done for you. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and give God thanksgiving and praise. Stop and thank the Lord. I think the most tender thing about this story is not the relationship of Joseph and his earthly father. I think the most tender thing about the life of Joseph are all of these men and their relationship with their heavenly father. How God took care of them in the midst of every circumstance that seemed to be against them. And so what is the central truth of the lesson? Stop and thank the Lord. There's no doubt in my mind Jacob was anxious. Anxious to see Joseph. All these years without him, he's eager. He does what all of us would have done. He packs his belongings. He gets on a camel. He heads for Egypt. He rides about 25 or 30 miles, and he gets to Beersheba at the southernmost tip of the land of Canaan, and he says, "Stop the caravan." They stop. He gets down off the camel, gets down on his face in the dirt, and thanks the Lord. He says to those boys, "Boys, I'm anxious to see your brother. I can't wait to get there. But let's not get too much in a hurry. There's one thing more important than that. I need to stop and thank the Lord. And I want you to know, in studying this lesson, God's dealt with me about this. We all grumble, we complain, we fuss, we find fault, we live on the negative side. And God's people ought to be grateful people. They ought to be joyful people. The devil wants to blind our eyes to the goodness of God. There's no doubt about that. If Satan had his way, he would get you constantly looking at the burdens and never at the blessings. And this is a great lesson to help all of us be more grateful. Three simple things. Would you make note of them? Number one, we should see the blessings. Read in preparation verses 17 through 26 of chapter number 45, and you'll see the background of this story. And imagine Jacob sitting there and see the wagons coming. And he saw the blessings of God. With his own eyes, he saw them. And I want to challenge you, through eyes of faith, see the blessings of God. You know why the devil wants to blind our eyes to the goodness of God? Because the Bible says, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. When people see the goodness of God, you know what it causes them to do? It causes them to turn to the Lord, to trust the Lord. And the devil doesn't want that. So you know what he does? He tries to blind your eyes and let you only see the negative and never the positive. And somebody says, well, you're just being unrealistically positive. I'd rather err on the side of being too positive than being too negative as a Christian. In fact, I don't think you can be too positive as a Christian. As long as God is my Savior, and that is for eternity, then I have everything I need. He is my sufficiency. You must stop and see the blessings of the Lord. And this is so interesting. When Jacob saw the wagons, what does the Bible say? His spirit did what? Revived in him. Well, tell you what happens. When people start to see the goodness of God in their life, God at work in their lives, you know what happens to them? It refreshes their spirit. That's what all of us need. If you feel like you need a good spiritual refreshing, sit down somewhere and start thinking about the goodness and the blessings of God to you. It'll do something for you. And so look for the blessings. It's not that they're not there, it's that we're not looking. You must see the blessings. Number two, we should thank our God. It's interesting, every point in this lesson builds on the one previous. You see it, and then you thank God. There's a world of difference between thinking and thanking. It is one thing to say, well, sure, I think of lots of things God has done for me. It's another thing entirely to say, not only do I think of things like that, I'm grateful to God. I'm going to give thanks to God. I'm going to bless His name. I'm going to give Him praise. And that's what Christian people ought to do. They should stop and thank the Lord. To me, the first word of this title is so convicting. Stop. We are all in such a hurry. We race through life. We rush through our duties. Good things. But sometimes you just have to stop. There has to be a pause, a parenthesis in every day where you just stop and thank the Lord. So we must see the goodness of God, the blessings of the Lord, see the wagons. Let me ask you, can you see the wagons? Do you see them coming? They're coming to you. They're sitting in front of you. They're at your front door. You see the blessings of God. Then you thank the Lord. And then number three, we should obey the Lord. In other words, true gratitude results in obedience. It is one thing to say, I'm grateful to God, and another thing entirely to live like it. The grateful life is the obedient life. And notice, please, as Jacob obeyed, God spoke to him. In a vision at night, God gave him courage, and God gave him assurance, and God gave him direction. He said, Jacob, go down into Egypt. I'm going with you, and every good thing I ever promised you, I'm going to bring it to pass. That's the Lord. As you and I obey in faith, God continues to bless and to use our life. Pastor says this often. Obedience is not just doing the will of God. Obedience is delighting in doing it. True obedience grows out of our gratitude. It is the life that says, not only am I going to do what God wants me to do, I'm going to do it with joy in my heart. I'm just so grateful that God's been so good to me. And I want to say to you, on the Lord's Day, this Sunday, let's all take time in our classes to stop and thank the Lord. But let's take it a step further. And in our own lives, the lives of our students, let's stir people to stop every day and thank the Lord for His goodness and His blessing in their life. Could it be some lost person, some backslider, somebody away from the Lord this Lord's Day could hear this lesson, see the goodness of God, and the goodness of God would lead them to repentance? Stop and thank the Lord.